Hey everyone, welcome to Just Mental Health with Steph and Em, the podcast where we discuss mental health through a social justice lens. I'm Emily.
And I'm Stephanie. A quick disclaimer before we get started, we are mental health professionals, but this is not to be taken as professional advice.
We are also aware that our privilege may cloud our perspective on some topics, and we not only welcome but encourage you to message us with criticism and correction. Let's get started. So our small business shout out today is True North Counseling. And the best part about True North Counseling is that's where Stephanie works.
Yes. So, but also our guests, Amanda Velez and Jennifer Kendrick, work there as well.
They do. Yes, that is true. So lots of good people that work at this private practice. So it is a private counseling practice in Louisville. They do teen, individual, family, group therapy, as well as intensive parent behavior training. So that is really cool. I think that's kind of unique, the intensive behavior parent training. Looks like they are located in Louisville and Greenway Commons Place. Looks like you can call them to schedule an appointment. They take insurance. They also have a sliding scale. They seem to have a pretty comprehensive frequently asked question page. What if my out of control teenager has no interest in coming to therapy and refuses? Can you still help? That's a really good, that is a frequently asked question that is not often addressed. So I'm glad that is on there. They have a page with blogs. Obviously Stephanie works there, and I've known a lot of people throughout when I lived in Louisville, a lot of people that worked there, and they all had really good things to say. So definitely give them a call if you are interested. So truenorththerapylouisville.com. And now a quick ad.
Okay, so we are back, and we have another wonderful guest today. The pen name is JJ Chagog, but she is also called Jasmine. She writes books about social and emotional learning, inclusiveness, and good mental health practices for children. She's a Chicago, Illinois native. And before she started writing, she got a bachelor's degree in English with a minor in Spanish. And then following that, because of her love for children, she went to graduate school where she obtained her graduate degree in elementary education. She is now the owner of J.R.'s Collections and writes extensively. And so about J.R.'s Collections, it's about caring and protecting the growth of the world's most previous aspect, children. Our mission is to provide the best social emotional learning books to children. We strive to make parents' choices, the ultimate decision makers, easier by creating resources that they can trust to positively impact children's social, emotional growth and development. Our books and resources help children make the healthier choices with the informed guidance of parents or teachers. JC's books help children develop their social, emotional skills by focusing on the power of positive thinking through affirmations, embracing diversity, and teaching kids friendly strategies to self-regulate when big gets too big. Thank you so much for being here today and for coming on to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I would just like to say, when people you finally read it, you was like, oh my God, that's not what I meant to say, but it's okay. It's okay. No, that's on me. So it lets everyone know that I am human. But thank you.
Like typos and stuff, is that what?
Yeah, like that's me. Like in this author journey, I found out I was dyslexic when I became an author. Like, oh, really? 31 years, I never knew it until I became an author and going through the editing process, and I took some tests, and it's like, oh, you're a dyslexic. I flip stuff around sometimes. So it's good to see that. I'm like, yeah, now I know what's wrong.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, because, yeah, that's, I'm sure there, I don't know any, but I'm sure there's a lot of authors out there that are dyslexic. And it's one of those things, like, especially as a kid, well, for a lot of children, my sister was, it really impacted, you know, how she did in school starting out, until she finally got diagnosed and got tutoring. And then it was okay. But before that, you know, our parents were like, why are you not getting this? This is really confusing to us. And she's like, it's confusing to me. And then they were like, oh, cause you're dyslexic. She's like, oh, okay. So it's cool though, that someone, you know, who is dyslexic and would have issues just around reading and words and letters flipping around, then goes on to write books and be an author. And I think that's really cool.
That is, well, cool. Yeah, it was because of me becoming an author that I actually found out that yeah, was an issue, because I had a mm-hmm, photographic memory up until then. So I just used to memorize stuff. And then how I was doing it along. And then with this, the editing process and writing, it's like, why didn't I see this? What's going on? Like, I read this 50 times and I didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's when, you know, I learned about certain fonts like Arial and other fonts that's better for, you know, dyslexic people. And it makes a world of difference.
Really?
Huh. Okay,
I didn't even know that.
Yes. Maybe we could have you come back again and talk.
Yeah.
If you'd be interested.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. I mean, it's interesting. And I, you know, I'd love to hear more about it.
Absolutely. I'm an advocate for it.
That's great. Does that influence how you write your books for kids?
I think now one of my goals is to have a dyslexic font version of each book. That's like long term, because I know that is very important, and it really makes a difference. Even for some people that just have, you know, problems reading or sight problems, it makes a difference. So that's something I definitely want to have on for each of my books, to have that font available. So yes.
Yeah, because inclusion is a mm-hmm, is a big part of. So why don't we get started and kind of talk more about your mission with these books? Like, tell us a little bit about the books and kind of your goals behind them.
Yes. So my goal behind the books are, it's for social emotional learning. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the stories to be relatable. Because a lot of times, you know, when we do read those type of stories, it's, you know, it's about a spot or something like that, or something that's not really an actual, you know, character that's being represented. And I wanted it to have such a relatable story that even parents can read it and think back to their childhood about when it happened to them. And, you know, even, and then they'll tell the story to their kids and like, yeah, this used to happen to me all the time. And just bring that whole family cohesion together. And I also was very intentional when at the end of the book, because after every book, there's a strategy with tips that they can do and recite. And then there's an affirmation page that goes along with what they learned. Because for me, that's the huge piece of having your identity and understanding who you are and being able to understand your emotions, is understanding who you are, what you feel, and being, and being comfortable enough to tell people how you feel in a respectful way. Because you can say anything long as it's done with respect.
Yeah,
and respect for yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I love that, you know, that you say social emotional learning, because that is, we've talked about this on other episodes in podcasts, especially with like, when we talked about teaching like body safety and consent and like your sexual body parts and stuff to kids for, what was it? It's My Body or something. I think that was
the name of the episode. My Whole Body. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, part of like why it's so important is because this is not a curriculum that kids get in school. Anything, you know, social emotional learning, maybe some very more like progressive schools are starting that, but really it's just not, it's not something that they teach. And it's not something parents always teach because they don't know how. But it's just as important as learning your ABCs or as learning your colors and numbers and how to add and how to subtract. Like, it's another part of your development, that you're not just born knowing how to set your boundaries, how to communicate them, how to talk about your feelings and your needs. Just like you're just not born knowing how to read or how to add. Like, those are things that all have to be taught. So I think that's wonderful. It's very important. And so these are educational books as well as just good resources for families.
I would actually argue that I think that is more important, especially at a young age, than learning ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. Because as a teacher, I taught in Chicago. A lot of my kids weren't hitting their marks, but it wasn't because they couldn't learn. Like, if we sat down one-on-one because we had to do tutoring, they were getting it, but they didn't have any distractions and they didn't have any friends. They were able to focus. And I was able to keep their attention best. But when it's in the whole classroom setting, they hadn't learned how to self-regulate their emotions. They hadn't learned how to cope anything. So those were the reasons they were going to sit out of class. And, you know, I felt horrible because these are babies, kindergarten and first graders, you know, and I felt like they needed more of that than this. But some of my kids were expected to learn almost timetables and parameter by the end of the school year, and it's 6 months in and they don't even understand how to share.
That's so interesting. That, like, if they're not being taught how to interact with other kids or how to be in a group setting or how to, like, set boundaries, then how are they gonna learn the ABCs or, you know, math or, you know, reading and you know, all of the, like, what's seen as the, like, important subjects. That's really interesting that you would argue that it's more important, because, you know, I mean, I agree with you. It's like, it's the foundation. And we tend to like shame them or punish them. Like, if they're, like, you know, crying about something that we as adults might see as minor, we're like, you know, you need to go to timeout, but no one's taught them how to regulate that emotion. And to them, whatever this quote minor thing is like their whole world. Like, you know, they don't get to, like, have recess that day or whatever. Like, that's, like, earth shattering for them. And, like, you know, 'cause that's, like, the highlight of their day, you know? So I love that. That's kind of the framework that you work from.
Yes, it is funny because the book that's actually running right now, the Kickstarter, is titled Silly Little Squabbles. And I went to a lot of parents and a lot of different people to get feedback on the title. And the preface was, it's like, well, to kids it's not silly, and to other kids it's not little. This is, like you said, this is their entire world. And, you know, I was thinking about the title and thinking about work, and I said, no, I'm gonna keep that title, because the preface of the book inside lets you know that it's not silly and it's not little, and they need to have conflict resolution skills to resolve these things, because to kids, it's the most important thing. But with time and as an adult, they're going to understand and learn about, you know, big problems, small problems, and middle problems. And that takes time. I don't even think myself as an adult understood that. And so I said, if we start teaching our kids at 3 and 4 years old these skills, by the time they're 30, there will be an expert understanding their emotions, how your emotions and their role in your emotions. Because that's a three-part thing that sometimes is hard to see. But if you're practicing it since you were three, you will be the most in control of your life. And the most in control of when stressors happen, you're not quick to, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of, you know, suicide, there's a lot of things going on, especially in today's pandemic. It's because we haven't been taught how to handle and cope with stressors. and yeah. we don't see a way out. And mm-hmm. they're in that moment, it may be to us, it's as bad as it is that we don't want to live. Cause mm-hmm. in that moment, like I lived that life. I was 8 years old when I tried to kill myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it was because I didn't understand that I didn't understand anything about emotions, about how emotions will, you may feel like this now. It will pass, or some things that you could do to even make yourself not feel that way, or help yourself get over that hurdle. I didn't understand any. It never occurred to me that I am the master of my emotions or how I feel, and I can choose my own response.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I'm not the only kid.
Mm-hmm. You have a really personal journey with this. It sounds that kind of led you to be so passionate about this.
Yes, and
whatever really, you feel, you don't have to share if you don't feel comfortable. I just
I'm an open book. It's nothing. That's not my address no more. So it's nothing I can live that no more. So it's nothing I'm ashamed that I've been through, because it may help somebody, and that's the most important thing. But I got really serious about like my journey and healing and everything when I had my son, because to me, if I can't get something out of him, if it's not out of me, mm-hmm. and so it was like, This is as a mother, it's my job to protect you in whatever way I could. And at this moment, to protect you and help you, I had to help myself. And that's what led me to start, you know, this journey and start writing and start the books that I really wanted to read to him didn't exist, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm like, well, I can make them. And then I felt selfish. Like, why should I just keep them to myself? I'm not the only parent that will feel this way. They may not even know it, but they probably feel it. So mm-hmm. I said, let me try to help the world in whatever way I can.
I love that. Yeah. You're like, the books I want don't exist, so I'm going to make my own.
Yeah.
Hey, these are pretty good. I want to share them with everyone. And that's kind of how a lot of these really great ideas kind of come about. You know, you just sort of like see a need, and then you're like, well, no one else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. And then you realize that it's actually really successful and really effective and influential. So that's amazing.
I appreciate that. And I just hope that, you know, it reaches many children as it needs to. And that's, you know, that's why I do it. Cause believe it or not, I don't even like being on camera. And if you look at my TikTok, you're like, what? Well, I'm like, I really don't, but it's not about me.
yeah, exactly. I love what you said when you said, I can't get anything from my son that I can't get from myself, or, you know, paraphrasing that. That's, I think, such an important piece that when we've worked, you know, we've worked with kids and families before at previous jobs. We worked at the same place together, and pretty much the demographic we saw, Emily and I, was kids and families. That was like all we did. And doing that made I think both of us realize that's tough work. We're not cut out for that. We don't want to do that, but it's definitely very, very special people that work with families and kids, because it is difficult. And one of the things we would see is these parents, you know, like you said, the kids were getting in trouble at school, not because of bad grades or because they didn't understand or because they couldn't learn. It seemed to be so much impulse control and emotional dysregulation. And the teachers, of course, are managing like 30 kids. They don't have time for that, you know? So it was like, okay, so what we're going to work on is teaching these kids how to express themselves, understand their emotions, manage it, coping skills. But then, you know, we also notice like, okay, but we're teaching them this and their parents don't really know how to do that themselves. Like, where did the kids learn how to cope with their emotions? From watching their parents. So it was a lot more family work. Like, all right, we all need to talk about taking deep breaths together.
And that totally threw the parents off. They're like, yeah. Wait, I'm supposed to be a part. Like, you're not just gonna like fix my kid for me while I wait in the lobby. Like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
you're involved too. Like, you're a pretty important part of their life.
Yeah. I actually couldn't agree more. And I think I I know for a fact I kept that in mind as I wrote the books, mm-hmm. because in my head, as the parent is reading the book to the child, they're learning how they should react, respond to their children. Mm-hmm. Like, I was very intentional about, you know, making sure dad and mom was there. I mean, everybody has different type of families, but I wanted to show teamwork in mm-hmm. the, you know, in the way that it could be. And so as the parent is reading their the books to the children, they're actually picking up and learning how to respond in some things themselves. On Amazon, I look at the reviews sometimes and I see, I give this to my husband so he can see how he looks, you know, I use this for adults, you know, and, you know, I get that a lot. And I'm very happy that people actually are like understanding and getting what I tried to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, yes, they get it. Like that, it was intentional. Because it's not just the days of do as I say and not as I do are gone. Our children, this generation, it doesn't work like that. We have to be a model and try to do anything and everything we can to model what we want to see in our children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy at all. Like it takes dedication. And it takes practice. And that's what I always want people to say, like, you give yourself grace, make bite-sized goals, say, you know, cheer yourself on if your kid dropped something on the floor and or made a mess or yelled and you didn't react back. The most powerful thing you can do is when you want to yell, go low.
Yeah.
So if you want to let yell, just drop your voice mm-hmm. and just, you know, that helps you. And then it lets them know, you know, oh, wait, mom's not yelling. She went low. Okay, this is, well, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And so I want the whole world to start doing these things. And you know, you could ask my husband. I'm not always in calm and cool and collective, mm-hmm. but I can guarantee you that. I guarantee you that I strive every day to be better, and that's all.
There's also like the way you repair that, you know, you probably like want to model apologizing to your kids too. Like if you get frustrated and you yell at them because you're human, you know, a lot of parents don't even like, it doesn't even occur to them that they shouldn't have done that or that their kids deserve respect and therefore deserve an apology. Like saying to your kids, like, so like sometimes mommy has emotions too. And like, you know, I lost control and I yelled at you and I'm sorry. Like modeling that adults make mistakes and that adults can like have a conversation about their mistakes afterward. Like that's another big piece of this when we do, you know, lose our cool, because we all do. So
I think normalizing that is the big thing, is a huge piece. And I agree 200% with you, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when, you know, our kids do something and we reprimand them and, you know, whatever way you reprimand them, I think we're missing out on a big opportunity, because when you lose your cool or get upset and yell at someone, a lot of times the kids, you know, he hit me, and your punishment is, you know, your mom may hit you or whatever, something like that. So you're not learning not to hit, you're learning not to get caught, or, you know, but when you learn that when you yell at someone and says, you know, mean words, you're damaging that relationship. That's the real consequence, because mm-hmm. no one is obligated to, you know, to interact with anyone. So we have to learn to be respectful, because we want to cherish the relationship we have and not damage the relationship to the point where we're not talking anymore, or we're not friends anymore, or we're not this. So having those skills and developing those skills is a big part of understanding how relationships work.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me probably to maybe, what time is it? it took me a long time to understand that's the real consequence of, you know, losing your cool. You can lose your relationship with that person. Mm-hmm. And that's the real deal breaker. That's the real heartbreak.
You're right. We sort of teach kids that of like, when you say something, you can't take it back. You can't put the toothpaste back in, you know, the toothpaste. The holder, tube? Bottle, tube. Yeah, tube. Why couldn't I think of that word? I don't know. But also, but adults, we do that all the time. I mean, unfortunately, you get upset with your partner, you get upset with your kids, you get upset with your family member, and you say something sarcastic or under your breath or back at them that's like, okay, but you can't take that back. Like, you can apologize and say, hey, I lost my cool, I shouldn't have said that, but they've heard it. They can't unhear it. And if you can't find a way to control that for yourself, or at least de-escalate enough, maybe count to 10. We tell kids to do that. Adults can do that too. Count to 10 before you respond. So you have a little bit of time to think. Then how can you expect your children to do the same thing and not call someone a meanie head or you know, I know a lot of parents, like, the word stupid is a bad word in the house. And so it's like, the kids can't call people stupid, but what other things do you call people? You know, you got to model that for your kids. And so you're absolutely right. And that's awesome that you are not only writing these books for children, but for the parents and for them to learn and do this with their kids. And that's a family, and it's a bonding moment, right? When parents read to their children, that is a very important moment in their bonding, in their connection with each other. And it's also a very important moment in helping kids cognitively develop. And so you're giving them a place, giving them a tool to use to bring them together, to let them do that together. And that's wonderful. You've written a few books. Can you talk about those books and like what their names are, and then talk about your Kickstarter?
Oh, yes. So I would preface that, you know, I have a first and second edition of the first book. Now I'm really mad. And I did that because I upgraded the illustrations. And the kids was like, well, why did she get sent to her room? And I want to know why. What did she do to warrant that consequence? And I'm like, you're absolutely right. I did not say what happened, did I? So I updated it and add more to the story. And I still have the first edition because as a teacher, I wrote that from a teacher perspective, because sometimes you want a quick hit lesson that you can teach and, you know, and stay on schedule. So they're both out there. But my favorite, of course, is the second edition. So it's called Now I'm Really Mad, and it's dealing with anger. Mm-hmm. That one just took off on a life of its own. Like, it's at the DeSalvo Museum of African American History in Chicago. It's in Target. It's on Amazon. It's
in Target. You made it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's online. I'm not on the shelf physically.
Oh, it's still online. That's awesome.
You said it's at the Museum of African American History, is what you said?
Yeah, in Chicago. Yeah, the Saba Museum. Cool.
Wow, yes, that's awesome.
That same thing I said.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, the mayor of Bloomington, he actually read my book at my first book signing here. Oh. So that one, it just took off. So I asked people, I said, you know, they said they wanted a series. And I was like, well, I can do that. I try to listen to what people want. And I took a few, you know, surveys and a few beta readers, and I came up with the Silly Little Squabbles Dealing with Conflict. It's about conflict resolution, because honestly, I feel like that is a life-saving skill right now, especially in today's climate, where everything, being able to de-escalate a situation could save lives. Mm-hmm. So I felt that was a necessary topic, and to be honest with you, it's really unexplored in children's books. I have yet to see one. You know, a lot of times it's about anger and kindness. That's wonderful. And even a lot of times when it's feature Black main characters, it's about, you know, I'm enough. Excuse me, I'm sorry. You know, love your hair, all that stuff, your skin. Right. And that's great. But I didn't see anything that really got to the root. So I said, well, let's create it. And that's what the Kickstarter is for. That's so the illustrations are done. I work with an amazing illustrator, Tarashimi. I love her. I worked with her. This is my second book. She did the first one, the second edition of the first one, in this one. And that Kickstarter is for that, because when you're an independently owned publishing company, and you know, I'm not Random House, there are certain expenses that just sometimes you need to get creative to get there, to make them happen. So that Kickstarter is not a donation, it's a pre-order. So if I sell enough, you know, hit the goal of $7,000, that's the minimum I need to get the books printed, get them shipped, get them in stock, get them what I need, then that book will be to life, because I really wanted the highest quality of books. And I felt our children deserved that. Like I wanted to do so much with this book. And I said, okay, I'm not going to settle. I'm going to try. If I fail, that's fine. But if I can't be okay with not trying. So that's what that's about. I'm working on another book that's probably going to come out later this year, beginning of next year. And that one, for the time being, it's called Starflower. And that is a book about autism. And it features, I really got tired of always seeing autistic kids as a burden, and like, you know, or their capabilities or differences. So I wrote that book with the where there's a deemed regular child learning something from an autistic child. Yeah. And the illustrator for this one, he has worked with Disney, he's taught at Yale, and he's autistic himself.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's the next book that's coming after that, and I'm really excited. I'm super excited about that one, and that one I'm really going to push to the moon. I'm pushing all of them to the moon, but that one I think is going to be really important, because there are certain details that I got to get just right. And so yeah, that one's called Starflower, and I call it a starflower because a starflower is a companion in a garden, and other you know, plants grow, certain plants grow best with that in the garden with them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's the next one I'm coming up. And I do have a mental health coloring book for adults.
Oh my goodness. You've got quite a few things coming. That's awesome.
I do. I know, right? My husband like, just let this be your last thing. But I had so much in me. I said, let me at least get these out. And then, you know, I have like 10 plus stories written. I have a lot written.
Yeah,
but you know, those are the ones that I'm like, okay, let's focus on this. Let's focus on these, and then regroup.
So, a mental health coloring book,
you said? Yeah, it's called Adult Mental Health Coloring Book. So, in that coloring book, there's like different intricate designs, and there's affirmations in each design that you color in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love those coloring books personally.
Yeah, I actually just sold out of those, so I gotta get some more.
So with the Kickstarter, sorry.
No, you're.
I was just gonna ask. You said the Kickstarter, it's a pre-sale. So if people donate to it, they will get a book when it's
published. Yeah, I have different packages. So you go on there, like there's one package I call Conflict Resolution Package. So I created a coloring book and a social emotional workbook too with the book.
Oh, that's because great.
Because
therapist out there, listen, you got some resources.
Because as a teacher, I'm like, that's not, you know, sometimes you need more, they need practice. So I wanted like, I took some surveys, and a lot of parents said, you know, I want sign languages in the book, in this workbook, so they can learn, you know, for little kids, and colorings and matching and understanding that. So I was like, okay, well, if this is what you want, I'm pretty sure I can do it. So let's do it. So that's one of those like packages that's on there. I did make the coloring book and the social emotional workbook for the Kickstarter digital. And I did that because there's a lot of teachers and there's a lot of counselors. When it's digital, you can always, you know, reprint it out and redo what you want. But at some time or another, it'll probably be a physical form. But, you know, for now, I'm like, okay, I can definitely make this, and I'll make it so that you all can use this over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, I love when things have a digital component, because you're right. You can just mass copy them for groups, for classrooms. or no, for just reusing, yeah,
spilling things on them. That's my biggest thing. When things are digital and like it's safe, it's lost.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so I really like to help people that want to be helped. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like, if you want to be helped, you know, and if I can do it, I'm gonna always try.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh when I'm nervous. Sorry.
Hey, I do too. It's okay. that is just, I mean, that's awesome. So you have so many things in the works, but they're covering so many different issues, and very important issues for kids. And like, just to go back just a little bit, I love what you said about conflict resolution is a life-saving skill.
Mm.
And I mean, that is so true. Of course, especially now in today's climate, but you're right. That conflict resolution goes such a long way, not only in, you know, okay, so how are you going to deal with peers? How are you going to deal with other people? But how are you going to deal with your partner? How are you going to deal with coworkers, in any authority figures you come in, you know, to contact with, like police officers, judges, anything like that. Like, you've got to know what is the best way to handle this situation so that nobody gets hurt, but you can be assertive and still state your needs and your boundaries. And it's sort of like, for some people, it almost seems like one or the other, right? There's like either people have a conflict style of being very aggressive because they want their needs to be met and heard, or they have a conflict style being very passive where they don't state that and they just sort of let the other person take the lead and okay, whatever you want. But there's a way to do that in the middle where, you know, hopefully everything goes right. Everyone can find that their needs are getting met and the conflict is being resolved. And so, yeah, I mean, you're right. That is something kids learn at a young age that's only going to help them in every situation as they get older, and that they can continue to build on those skills.
I agree. I think if that's something, you know, I had growing up, I think I would have saved myself a lot of heartache and suffering. Not to say that certain stuff won't just happen. It's just life. But right. I think I would have been able to, you know, to cope better. And I never want anyone to go through some things that I went through if I can, you know, help it. And I think the biggest piece is education. People just have to be aware. I think I'm the first one, like, just, you know, looking at my pages and my, you know, my followers and everything. I think I'm the first one that's making them putting this out there, like, hey, your kids need to be able to resolve conflict. You know, we shouldn't have to jump every moment in and save the day. We have to let them, you know, teach mm-hmm. them and let them practice it. And exactly. Let them learn how to brainstorm solutions. Learn that compromise is not a bad thing. It's not always mm-hmm. your way. You know, there's a way that everybody can get something and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. That's good. Letting kids practice that and solve it on their own is also really important. Because you're right. Sometimes you'll see parents that are too involved, that want to solve everything for their kids. And then they never learn those skills. And they're always sort of relying on their parents to step in and take care of things. And it's like, no, part of being a big kid and being an adult is handling those situations on your own.
Mm-hmm. Especially yeah. if when the parents intervene, they're like, you know, stop fighting, go to your room. And they're not actually like teaching, you know, mm-hmm. which is a lot of the way that parents handle.
They just want the fighting to stop. Yeah. But they're not. Yeah.
You kids are driving me crazy. Yeah. And like,
you know. And they come in and pick a side. What you do? You know, and you know, and we're learning that it's always somebody right and it's always somebody wrong, and that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So I was like, okay, let me get with it.
Good. Yeah, I love how you're like seeing, like looking for holes in the, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay, there's books about this, but there's not books about this. Let me write about this. Like you're providing society with the missing pieces, which is really awesome. Hi. She just pulled her son up
into the hello. Do you want to say hi?
No, say hello. Say hello.
He's waving. You got a carrot?
You got a carrot?
All right. Thanks, bud.
I'm interested in, because I know inclusion is another big part of this for you. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that piece.
You have to excuse me. I think everything I include, I kind of somehow represent it.
That's just real life. Kids in the background, my dog's barking. Like, that's just real life. Sometimes you hear this stuff on podcasts. It's okay.
That's why we don't edit. We wanna show that.
Yeah, exactly.
Life happens, you know.
You want to show me running from my son. I think for the inclusion piece, I like I said, I'm an open book. When I was, I think it was like, no, I'm pretty sure I have pictures. So it was 2012. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Oh my goodness. So
I was faced with, you know, my body was actually like shutting down to where like my hands was like working sometimes and not working.
Yeah.
And so I really understood, like, it was like, I really understood and had to face the reality of my own limitations. And it made me think about other people who do this on a regular. And when I went to another country and I didn't really speak the language like that, I understood what it felt like to be illiterate. Understood all those things. So that's why I'm an advocate for inclusion, because I may not have, you know, everything that could be wrong in the world, but I have that empathy for them, because I've been there to some degree. So I wanted to make it accessible to every single person. Like, that's why all my books have an audio off back. Yeah. Like, they have an audio version off back. Like the first Not Really Mad, the first edition has a American Sign Language video. It's on my website. I'm redoing a few things to include it, but that's something I want for all my books. Oh, to man. Have the audio, to have the American Sign Language version, to have a Spanish translation and some other translations, because I want it for it to be accessible to any and everyone, no matter what you know. No matter what you are able to do or not able to do, it shouldn't deter you from being able to get the material and learn. And maybe I'll even do Braille. I have to look more into that too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to. That's the goal. That's the inclusion piece that I want for the books. When you go there, you should be able to look at some social emotional learning. You should be able to get whatever you need for your child, or whatever level they're at.
That is so cool. I love the accessibility piece, because that is not, maybe it's common. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it is, you know, it doesn't seem like it's as books are as accessible as they should be. There's no reason why most, you know, publishing places can't do that. And the fact that you're doing that on your own, just because you are passionate about it and you believe that everyone should have access to it, is great.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I just feel like this is the least I can do. And, you know, that's how I feel about everything. It's the least I can do. and if it helps other people, that's my main objective. I've always, you know, been one that wanted to help. That's why I became a teacher. Mm-hmm. That's why I make sure I have representation, and eventually I would like to, you know, publish other authors, because I'm big on own voices. I feel like we need more Native Americans, more Asian Americans depicted in as main characters, and I want them to tell their own story. You know, I don't want to tell them for them, because when somebody tells an African American story, and just say, for instance, it includes macaroni and cheese, If you're not in the culture, you don't understand why that can't be why it has to be baked macaroni and cheese. Yeah. You may not understand it why Uncle can't make the macaroni and cheese. You know, it's little nuances that you have to be really, you know, in the culture to understand. So I definitely would like to get to the point where I can help other authors tell their stories.
Yes, yes, because and stories should be told by the people who lived them. I mean, it should be your own voice telling these stories. Nobody should tell them for you, because you're right, when they do, they get it wrong. They get things wrong. And yeah. And people notice that. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense culturally. That doesn't make what well, we
yeah,
we
would that was that. Something that stood out to me a lot when I was like looking on your website and social media and stuff, was the illustrations are kids of color. Yes,
they are. And actually my whole team is like a diverse team. Mm-hmm. As about, like my illustrator, she's from Sri Lanka, she's a Asiatic. The person that was helping me with some of the marketing, she's from Nigeria. My book designer is Hispanic. one of my mentors, she's from Sweden, but you know, she's a Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So I like to have all those different perspectives included. So I don't shy away from, you know, I am a Black woman, and I will never, you know, at this point in life, I will never be ashamed of that. And I want other people to feel that way too. Wherever you are, wherever you've been through, do not be ashamed of it. And it needs to be represented, and your stories are important. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I like just love your mission, like mm-hmm. everything about this whole thing.
Yeah. I know. That's what I'm thinking. I just love all of this. I'm definitely going to be getting those books and those workbooks. I mean, not only to support, but also just because those are really good tools that I will use with clients and with my niece. This is just very exciting. So of course we're going to link everything on the Instagram. Yes. But you guys definitely should go and check out her Instagram, check out her website, check out her Kickstarter, look up her books on Amazon and Target.com, and support this author who's doing something very important and very needed. We need to support people that are doing these things. She saw a gap in resources, in books for kids, and she solved that problem, and we need to support that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Aww.
No, thank you.
Is there anything else you wanted to share with us or talk about?
Love the child you have. You know, love the child you have, you know, and parent the child you have, not the child you want. And I think that's what I did with my child. And, mm-hmm. you know, I learned how to parent him the way he is. And I think if we do that, we're going to make the right decisions.
I love that. Love the child you have, not the child you want. Like not trying to mold your child into someone they're not.
Right. Like we said, they're their own personality. They're their own person. They have some autonomy. So yeah, absolutely. Parent the child you have.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It's such a pleasure being here with you all.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed our discussion. I actually bought one of your books for my nephew. It was part of his Hanukkah present. I haven't read it to him yet, but I'll probably be seeing him next month. So I'll read it to him and I'll let you know what he thinks.
Yeah. But,
yay.
definitely want to, you know, keep on supporting you in any way that we can, because we really, really appreciate your mission and your goals.
Thank you. And same here. I love your podcast. I love what you're doing, because it is needed. It's very needed. I think it's wonderful when we can come together.
Yeah. Thank you. That's so sweet to say.
All right. Well, that's our show. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow us on wherever you get your podcasts. And we'd also appreciate a rating and review.
And don't forget to follow the show's Instagram for updates on new episodes at Just Mental Health Podcast. And that is with a period between each of those words. This is Steph.
And M signing. Oh, sorry. And M. And gonna say your name.
JJ Shigag. I'm sorry, my son.
You're good. I was like on a roll too, and I didn't mean to. Okay, let's start over. Why don't you say this, Stefan, again?
Yeah. Let's just, okay. This is Steph.
And
JJ Shigag.
Signing off. Thanks for listening.